We're back on the air. We're at O'Brien and Levine, and this is On the Record, the Radio Entrepreneurs this week's show dedicated to the best litigators of the Boston area. My name is Jeffrey Davis of Mage, and my co-host for the week, backing me up, fixing me up, is Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing.
Always backing you up, buddy. You're okay. Doing a great job. This is a wonderful show, and meeting the best litigators there are, not only locally but nationally.
And I know you like this next guest a lot. It's Chuck Rodman from Gesmere up the Grove, and we're going to talk family and employment litigation, correct?
Sounds great.
Great. Chuck, just tell us a little bit about, you know, your practice, you know, what you do, what you try to focus in on.
The focal point of my practice is disputes. It's not something that a lot of lawyers are comfortable delving into. I tend to gravitate toward the more acrimonious cases, and so I'll tell clients, if you want to work it out, I'm not the guy for you. If you're interested in winning and fighting and going to court and trying the case, we'll do it. And most of the litigation that we get involved in relates to business of some kind. It can be employment disputes. It can be disputes between members of a closely held business, family businesses, professional liability claims, real estate related litigation. So it runs the gamut so long as the dispute arises out of the operation of a business.
Chuck, tell us a little bit more about your employment practice and your employment litigator, because although what's interesting about you is, yes, you have the backbone and you could take the case and do whatever it takes to win. At the same time, you understand as a litigator, because I've seen you involved in certain cases, when it's time to cut bait, try to make a resolution that's going to work for everybody.
Yeah, it's a good point you make. Not every case is designed to be tried. Some cases, a win is something that occurs outside of the courtroom. It depends upon the case. And I once had a lawyer ask me, what kind of attorney are you when you get into a dispute, one that's really acrimonious? And I tell them, tell me who my client is, and I'll tell you what kind of lawyer I am, because it's so dependent upon the personality of the client and what they're trying to achieve, what the objective is. So not every case will we go to the mat and commit to trying the case. It really depends. But the cases that end up being a product of the client's desire to resolve it amicably, I tend to shift those matters to my partners. The ones that I end up really succeeding in are the ones where the client is committed to litigating the case and getting a judge or a jury to make a decision that they can't get. They can't get that decision, that resolution, outside of court. And so they'll come to me, that's the kind of case. In the employment context, to answer your question, we'll do management side representation as well as employee side representation.
Right.
We don't find that there's any business conflict in doing both sides of the case. The ones that I enjoy the most are representing employees. And the right kind of employee to get into a dispute and to make the case enjoyable to work on is someone who is incredibly passionate and dedicated to their craft, whatever it is, and feels like they've been wronged. And we can verify that under whatever law applies to the case that they, in fact, have been wronged and the employer disagrees. And so in order to get a remedy, we have to go to court.
Right. Well, you have certain cases, for example, we're talking about not only obviously smaller cases, but you really have a way of keeping companies in check with their policies. I know you were telling us a case before we started about an employee who had a potential discrimination issue.
Yeah. So thanks for mentioning that. We try to represent mostly executives. It happens to be that executives, as they move up the corporate ladder, are confronting issues that lower level employees aren't confronting on a day-to-day basis. And so in this particular case, we represent a sales executive who works for a multinational corporation. She suffers from a pregnancy-related disability that renders her incapable, physically incapable, of having children. Nonetheless, she and her husband wanted to have kids. And
naturally.
Naturally.
Right.
And she could not have them naturally. And this is a woman who waited to have kids because in the workplace, unfortunately, women find that they have to work much, much harder to move up the corporate ladder than men do. And the statistics on that support that. So time and time again, women are working past the age where they are most likely to become pregnant and right. have no medical issues having children. She worked tirelessly, blew by that period of time, moved up the corporate ladder as a sales executive at this company. And then when she went to go and have kids, she couldn't have them. And when the doctors say, had she had them at a younger age, she might have had a better chance of having right. children. So she engaged the services of an ovum donor and a gestational carrier to carry her eggs and her husband's sperm. And they ended up giving birth to two babies. They had twins. She applied for maternity leave because the company she worked for had a paid maternity leave policy.
Right.
And they denied her the maternity leave that she applied for on the basis that she did not physically give birth to these children, although the children, in fact, are hers. They're the product of her eggs and her husband's
She's
sperm.
She's the mother.
She's the mother.
Right.
And under the strict reading of the policy, she would be entitled to maternity leave. And so it raises all kinds of questions, not just legal questions, but ethical issues
right.
about
how
maternity leave should be
granted. It says to me a lot about the employer, you know, just the kind of organization they're building and how they really feel about people.
Yeah, you would be shocked about some of the things that have gone on in this workplace.
Well, I know from being in the employment business, only recently did employers finally start recognizing when a woman went on maternity leave from adopting children.
Yeah, and I think as a result of that, a lot of employers are now creating adoptive leave policy and paternity leave as well.
You know, I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest employer. I've been an employer, you know, most of my life now. But, you know, I think I'm tough and demanding. I don't expect people to do mediocre work. But whenever anybody comes to me with a family issue, I say to them, I don't want to discuss a family issue with you. You do what you have to do. It's family. That's the area I don't negotiate.
Yeah.
It's just family. So it does. It says a lot to me about who you're working for when you have to start, you know, say, I am a mother. You know, it's the dispute is I am a mother and I want to be with my little newborns.
Yeah.
It doesn't say a lot about the organization and their feeling for people.
True. But what do you do when family matters overlap with legal matters? Take for example a business that's a family operated business and they have legal issues and there's overlap
right.
between what one would call a non-business related issue, an intra-family squabble,
right.
Which usually can be resolved through conversation, but when the dispute relates to something legal and the family members end up hiring counsel, it becomes something that's totally different.
Most of the family businesses I've worked for, and probably been a few hundred at this point in time, they are run more by family rules than corporate rules, and that's where they get themselves into a mess, and that's where they end up getting into arguments and fights where they need attorneys.
My colleagues at Gessmer Optigrove would say the same thing. I have many, many corporate partners who spend their entire working lives trying to convince business owners to create a bunch of rules. Particularly in an intra-family dominated business, so that there isn't a fight later on, so that the rules that are created at the outset serve to provide guidance to the parties if in the event dispute arises. So I couldn't agree with you more. Most of the disputes that we get involved in the business context are created because there is a lack of of guidance provided by corporate governing documents or partnership governing documents?
People need rules. They need to know what the parameters of behavior have to be. And in a corporate world where things are going at quite a fast pace, it's good to clarify things ahead of time. And too many times families don't bring that to the table.
That's right.
They bring their family structure, which is counterproductive to business. They don't really run parallel very well.
Yeah.
Even small businesses. I know so many clients that just the little policies that will go a long way to prevent issues with employees. Going back to your case, what's interesting to me is that from a policy standpoint, somebody who is either adopting a child or who's other than naturally having children, that's going to take that parent time to bond with the kids as opposed to somebody who's had the children. So I would think even more so these policies have to be put in place or there's going to be issues down the road. It's like I remember like childcare. I would always, when my kids were little, we had somebody that helped us with our kids. Well, I paid.
And he's never thanked me.
And I always appreciate it. But we paid Jeff's health insurance. So when Jeff came to help us with our kids, so we paid the health insurance for our child care person, whereas a lot of people didn't. I would say, listen, it's pay me now, pay me later. By not paying their health insurance and you're just paying them, they're not going to go to get doctor's help.
Yeah.
And so what's going to happen is by not seeing a doctor, that when they're sick, they're just going to be worse. So I think it's going to pay me now, pay me later in this case that you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that this particular case raises issues that we all confront on a regular basis. The times are changing. Years ago, no one would have thought that you could have children using an ovum donor and a gestational carrier and that the woman would be in the workplace under this arrangement.
Absolutely.
I mean, 50 years ago, no one contemplated it.
Correct.
And so just now, the law is starting to catch up with the way people are living their lives. And think about some of the greater issues that are coming up in this presidential cycle. Gun control. Well, whoever thought back when the Constitution was drafted that people would be running around with guns.
Right.
All right. So it does raise issues about how frequently the law should change to conform to the way people are actually living their lives in this country.
I think, you know, you bring up an important point because we're at the end of the interview, and that is social change and social issues happen before legal change.
Yes.
And it's up to the lawyers to create that structure that creates reliable and good structure around social change so that the laws do change. So there's a sequence of events in life that are important to happen. And you're saying you're deeply involved with that because some things can only be solved through litigation.
That's exactly right. That's the trial attorney's job is when the legislature has not passed a law and the way someone is behaving confronts a legal issue, the only way to have the law recognize what's actually going on in our country is to have the issue litigated and have courts make law.
Look at the Goodridge case, right? Same-sex marriage.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
And thank God our law is changing for the better in this state.
Right.
You know, Chuck, I have to tell you, for a virgin on Radio Entrepreneurs, you didn't do a bad job. So,
thank you. Thank you very much.
And can I ask you, because we're just sort of touching, will you come back and talk about some of these
things
again?
Sure. I had a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
We're a big fan of your firm. The firm's been on the show before. They've always everyone's always done a good job. We're talking to Chuck Rodman. Chuck, if someone wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
Either on the internet at our website, www.gesmer.com, or they can email me at chuck.rodman@gesmer.com, G-E-S-M-E-R.
And your phone number, Chuck?
Call the office. Best place to reach me. They know where to track me down at all times, 617-350-6800.
See, versus me where I told my partner, take the firm's phone number off the website. I only want cell numbers.
We're not there yet. Another way that we're not conforming to.
Well, when it comes to marketing, lawyers do lag society.
And in a lot of other areas, I
might
add.
Yes, that's true. I just speak to their spouses. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been talking to Chuck Rodman, and I'm here with Mark Z from Mark Z Legal Staffing. We're going to take a break and from O'Brien and Levine, and we'll be right back after these messages with more stories.